Today, obviously, we began with baptisms and was so thankful to hear testimonies and to celebrate with these. And I like to focus on that when we have a baptism Sunday, just like I do with the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to look today in Acts chapter 8, if you'll turn there. And the reason for that, just really, really quickly, this past Wednesday night in our Bible study or our service, we're going through the books of the Bible, book by book. And as we were doing so, we got to a story of a baptism. And I thought this would be really appropriate to look at today as we talk about and witness baptism. So in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, as I shared on Wednesday night, we have the account of one of the prototype deacons named Philip. And Philip goes and preaches in Samaria. A great revival breaks out. And then God says to Philip, I want you to leave that area and go down to a desert place. And when he got there, there was an official with, if you see, I think in verse 27, there's an official there, a man we call Ethiopian eunuch, person of great authority, under the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, that guy was on his way back from Jerusalem, and he was reading the Bible. Okay, there's never a bad time to read the Bible. So he was reading the Bible. And as he was reading the Bible, Holy Spirit told Philip to join him at his chariot. So Philip goes up there where this official is in his, we'll kind of say his car back then. And he's reading. And he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Now, that passage talks about the suffering servant. This is a great prophecy regarding the Messiah and what Jesus would become when he was born and recognized as the Messiah and given his life for us as sinners. As he's reading that passage, Philip joins him and he asks Philip, all right, what is this passage talking about? Is the author talking about himself or someone else? And so then we get to the end of this conversation, and in verse 35, Philip opens his mouth and begins at the same scripture. And the Bible says that from that point, he preached to him Jesus. He explained to him how this prophecy had been fulfilled when Jesus was born, as he lived his life and died on the cross, was raised from the dead. Now here's what happens after that, which is our focus today. As they went on their way, in verse 36, they came to some water. And the eunuch spoke up and said, look, here is water, so what hinders me or would prevent me from being baptized? Well, Philip answers in verse 37 and says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the man answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is a Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, to stop. They put the parking brake on. They went over to where the water was, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and that eunuch. And the Bible simply says, and Philip baptized him. Now, I need about 20 more minutes to do what I wanted to do today. So we're going to introduce this today. I actually do have a couple more folks that are needing baptism, and maybe I'll be able to finish up when we do that the next time. But I want to give you the same thing I give you every time with baptism, and we'll go through this like really, really quick. So there are three basic questions that you have to get right when you consider what baptism is and why a person is baptized. I'm going to give those to you really quickly, and I'm really just going to have to kind of skip through this, and hopefully next time we'll come back to it. So one of the questions that comes up in baptism is who should be baptized? And the answer may not be what you expect. Sometimes people think that baptism is for lost people, unchurched people, but technically that's not true. Baptism is for believers. And what I want to give you is a little takeaway with this, and I share this Wednesday night, but in the Bible, the scriptural order is always to believe and then be baptized. It's never to be baptized for salvation. You're not baptized to bring about forgiveness of sin. You believe first, and then your baptism becomes a public testimony of your faith in Christ, and that's why we call baptism believer's baptism. Now, we baptize the way we do, not because we're Baptist, but because we try to follow the Bible. Did I not turn this on, John? I may not have. We baptize the way we do because we try to follow biblical teaching with the Word. And so here at Mountain View, we do not baptize infants because baptism is for those who have come to a place of understanding sin and getting saved, and as believers, then they are baptized. So to answer the question, who is to be baptized? When this man turned to Christ and believed, then he said, "Now what prevents me from being baptized?" That's question number one. And I've got a lot more to share, just don't have time. Question number two, that's also really important we get correct here, is how is a person baptized? Now again, I don't baptize the way I baptize because I'm a Baptist. I baptize the way I baptize because of what the Bible teaches. And the word baptize, and this is a Greek word, but it's almost similar to what we use in English. The word baptize literally means to dip or to immerse. In the first century, every time a person was baptized, they fully expected when they said that word that they were going to be dunked, that they were going to be submerged. The word was used of ships when they would sink. A ship that has sunk has been baptized in the Greek. When you wash dishes, I share this every time, you wash dishes at a sink and you take a plate and you dip the plate below the surface of the water, you have baptized that plate. That's what the word means. If you were dyeing cloth, the word they would use to refer to the process of submerging cloth into a dye, they would use the word baptizo, the word baptize. Baptize in the Bible always means an immersion, a submerging, okay, a going under the water. So we baptize that way because of what the word means and also because of the symbolism in the word, which I'll get to in just a minute. So what's interesting in this passage is two times in verse 36, he sees the water. Verse 38, now notice this, they go down into the water. Verse 39, they came up out of the water. Now, that is not foolproof evidence that it was immersion there per se, but it's very clear that it was not standing beside a body of water and pouring or sprinkling. It was a literal into the water, and the word baptized means to immerse. And so when this guy looks at Philip and says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" he was literally asking, "What prevents me from being dipped? What prevents me from being immersed in this body of water?" Okay, that's what he is asking. That's question number two when you consider baptism and the ordinance of baptism. Question number three, as we go through this like super quickly, and I'm leaving out so much I was planning to share, is what does baptism do? There is errant theology in many who think that when they get baptized, they've now gotten saved. Right, baptism does not save anybody. But baptism is a symbol of what has happened in your life. It is a public testimony of your faith in Christ. That is why every time I baptize, and again, Doug, I mean, truly, Doug has gone down in history. 100th time that I have baptized an individual. Every time I've baptized these 100 times, every person has written for me their testimony. I want you to hear that they've already gotten saved. Now they are professing that publicly through the waters of baptism. So two things that stand out with the picture you find in baptism. Number one, every time you see a person baptized, and what this eunuch is asking for, every time you see a person baptized, you are getting a picture of what happened when Jesus went to Calvary. We know in the Bible that Jesus died, and when he died, he was buried. And then on the third day, he was raised to life. And he comes back to life. He is alive and eventually ascends back to the Father. But in baptism, you're getting a picture of what happened to Jesus with his own death, burial, and resurrection. Now, it always tells us what happened to Jesus when he went to Calvary. Second thing baptism points out for us is not only what happened to Jesus when he went to Calvary, but what happens to us when we go to Calvary. Okay? So you heard the testimonies. When you get saved, when you turn to Christ, something has changed in you spiritually. And baptism becomes an external picture of what has happened on the inside. So every time you see a person baptized, they're going through life living their way. Okay? Some of their stories are good stories. Some aren't so good stories. Okay, some are pretty stories. Some are not so pretty stories. The point is, a person's living through life going their way. We're living for us. I mean, that's human nature. When a person meets Christ, the Bible says the old person has died. Now, what do you do with dead persons? You bury them. So in baptism, when you get saved, you're living your life for you. You die to the old self. Your old self is buried. And now you're raised up to symbolize you're a brand new person in Christ. It's a picture. Okay? Baptism does not save. It is a picture, a striking picture of being buried and being raised as a brand new person in Christ. When this eunuch asks Philip, "What prevents me from being baptized?" He fully understood that baptism was immersion. This is common in their culture. They know that if you are a Jew or you are a Gentile converting to Judaism, you undergo immersion as baptism. So he's asking, now that I've identified with Christ, what prevents me from being baptized? Now, I've got so much more to share from the passage. I do not have time. So here's the last thing, and then we will be done for today. Baptism is not to be taken lightly. All right, some people view it lightly. Some churches take it lightly. If you understand what the Bible teaches about this ordinance, it is not something that we want to get wrong. We want to be correct in our understanding of Scripture and what baptism is. And I don't know who it was, but somebody summarized baptism with this statement, that when you get baptized, you are saying to every person who witnesses that, "I am a different person. The things you saw me doing before I got saved, you ain't going to see me doing them like that anymore." Okay? The way you heard my mouth talking before I got saved, you ain't going to hear that anymore. Now, I may struggle, and it may take me a while, but I am growing, and I am striving to seek to honor God. And when you're lifted up out of the water, you are saying, "I am not ashamed to be connected with the family of God." Amen. That's what baptism does. Amen. And all these today who are baptized through their testimony, they are saying to us, "I am thankful to be a part of God's family." Now, for those of you who want to jot this down, I just went through a 35-minute sermon in about 10. You are welcome. I mean, I left out 20 minutes. But, like I said, I've actually got some mothers that have contacted about baptism. And hopefully, maybe in the next couple of months, try to get that scheduled. And maybe I can pick up and redo this. But this is the essence of baptism. This is why we're excited when folks are baptized, because it is symbolizing a change in their life. They have met Christ. Now, do you remember when you were baptized? I do. I remember standing in front of the church, 1992, all four of us. And I told Amanda, I said, "I'll tell you this, I think, from what I recall, I think I was standing there and the pastor presents us to the church. And I was crying. I was sobbing. You know, I was like, it's a special time. You never forget when and where you were baptized. And I know that these will not forget that. So let's pray quick as we close, and then we're going to recognize these. And again, I'm sorry that was only about a 12-minute sermon, but it's the best I can do to honor your time and be a good steward of your time. So as we bow and close today, I want you to think about the concept of baptism. And it may be that you've heard the stories of these. You've seen a little tiny bit in Scripture of what baptism is and what it means. And you may be thinking in your heart, "You know what? I was maybe as a little tiny one baptized, but I didn't understand anything. I wasn't a believer yet. And I feel like scripturally that I may need to be baptized." Or it may just be that for a while in your life, you just haven't followed through with this first step of obedience with your faith. Or maybe somebody on your mind today, and you're like, "You know what, listen to these testimonies. I know people, and they need Christ, and you just need to pray for, just lift their name up in prayer and ask that God would work and move in their life." And as we close and we're thanking and praying, it may be that you, looking at your life, and you're like, "My goodness, I just listened to their testimonies. I don't know Christ. I've never been born again. I've never been saved. I so desperately need that." And this is an opportunity you have at the end of this Baptism Sunday to simply lift up a prayer. "Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. I'm asking Him to come into my heart, my life, be my Savior. So just a moment for you to pray. I'll close us and then we're going to recognize these who are baptized today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity today to witness folks who boldly share their testimony. And in baptism, they're saying, I'm thankful for what God has done in my life and where I was and where I am now. And I'm not ashamed of it. And we pray your blessings on each of these as they move into the rest of their lives, that they would know that they belong now to the family of God. Thank you for hearing prayers, and you know today everything has been lifted up to you. Work on behalf of these, and there may be some who have prayed for circumstances that have absolutely nothing to do with baptism. You know what those are. So where our needs are, may your grace be sufficient to provide for those. We pray for a good and safe week as we enter this new one and ask your blessings on each. As we strive to live for you, and we lift up our time of prayer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.